Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 14, we'll endeavor to preach. The Lord will help us. Glad to see all the preacher brethren here with us.
Amen.
And I say, I appreciate all of them.
Yes.
And they know where I'm standing, and they know the weight. They themselves would feel compassion for this service. Amen. Glad to see Brother Buzzard. And I don't say this because he's sitting here, but the Bible said, give honor to whom honor's due. Amen. I've told this before. I want God to touch me and to help me. And I want to have as much fire in my bones when I'm at that age as some of these men of God that has carried the torch. Amen. I appreciate him. He's preached me a few revivals, and we've had great revivals. Good to see him and his wife. Precious folks. She don't know it, but when they had preached us a revival and stayed with us, in the morning time, she'd slip out of the house, and she'd go out in that van, and she'd sit in that van and pray. And pray. And pray. I don't know how to say this, but just say it. Preacher brethren, if we ever get to where we feel like we arrive by ourselves. Abraham Lincoln made the statement. He said, if I ever mount to anything in life, he said, I owe it to my angel mother. Preacher brethren, I love you, and I wouldn't try to scold any of you because I don't want you to feel bad at me. But thank God for praying wives. Anybody can come to church, but it takes a praying wife to make a great preacher in the house. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 14. Very familiar scripture. May the Lord help me to preach to you tonight. The word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the drought. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black under the ground, and they cry. And the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. And they come to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty and were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads because the ground is chapped. For there was no rain in the earth. And the plowmen were ashamed and they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also cleaved in the field and forsook it because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places and they snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many, and we have sinned against thee. For we have sinned against thee. Jeremiah chapter number 2. Verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. For they have forsaken the fountain of living waters, and hewed out citrons, broken citrons, that can hold no water. And may the Lord help me preach to you tonight. I want to preach on the cry of the dying. I've preached this message a time or two, but I felt again the Lord spoke to my heart today in prayer. Laid this upon me to preach this again. There is a cry in our land. There is no one in this building, regardless of age, regardless of name, that is exempt of that cry. It's in every house. It's in every neighborhood. It's in every church. It's in every community. It's in our land and out of our land. There is a cry. We're dying. We need help. Amen. I think one of the saddest regrets of our church world is that we know that we're in bad shape and that we need help from God, but we don't want to testify to the fact that I need help from the Lord. Say amen. It is the fact that the barometer's reading that we're colder now than we've ever been. There's a time that we was hotter. There was a time that the power of God was greater among us. Our children stood up in reverence under the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. But now they look at us while our time has come and we find no water slushing out of the pulpit. We find no water out of our singing. We find no water out of our testifying. It is almost as though the dryness has come in and has overtaken us. If there's ever been a cry that needs to come out of the mouth of the church, it is that God send water. Send water among us. Send water is dry. The conflict is great. The battle is hard. The pressure is great, and it's a testifying unto us. We have slipped and pulled ourselves away from a touch of God, away from a move of the Holy Ghost. We need water. It is of cry that our elders, and if I might say, had birthed into our church world on the early start of the centuries, and they put in such a cry until God disrupted heaven and baptized the church with the Holy Ghost and fire and gave it power over the world. It was that cry that birthed Moses out into the be the leader. It was a wailing cry. Our afflictions are great and we need help, but no. Notice the isolation that has slipped in among us. There is no cry. There is no bursting. There is no pleading. We need help. We need water. It's almost, stay with me just a minute. It is almost as though we fell into an error that we have literally lost how to cry. We've lost how to weep. Our spirit has become so vindictive against that which is right and against the convictions of the Holy Ghost until it's now fell upon us. We have literally got no water gushing out from us. You say, preacher, you're starting on a bad note tonight. I'm starting on a note that gets you stirred up. We need water on these altars. We need power to fall among us. Ain't no sense in sending our children out there to find water. We know where the water is. It's time for us to get up out of there and run to the water. Something has slipped in. It's tighter. It's tighter than it's ever been. The pressure. Here we all testify of the pressure that how great it is. We talk about how the end time is closed in upon us. But while in the process of our talking, we have forgotten that we hold within our possession the greatest remedy to the pressure. Hear me. And I'm going to slow down just a minute. If this hour is dark as it is, Brother Budget, and as quiet as it is, if we don't have a stirring and a moving of the Holy Ghost, I want to ask you something. Our children, Brother Jeff, are not going to want to seek after the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Come on here. I'm going to just jump right off in the middle of it on the first night. Why is it that there is a cry among us There is water that's needed to be given. There is a cry. We must have it. I'm telling you, it's not until the emergency room turns on the light. It's not till the funeral home opens the door and we realize and it testifies unto us how empty the water is, how low the level has fallen, and how much we need God. I'm telling you, church, if there's ever been a day we need to hear a cry, it is the cry now. Give us water! Give us water! Jeremiah said, hang in here. Jeremiah made the statement. He said the drought was so heavy that the land itself seemed as though the ground itself mourned. It was as though the ground spoke up and said, I've seen wetter times than what you're in right now. I mean, how many times have you knelt down to pray and say, God, I remember times when the water was just a little bit more fresher than what it is right now. Say amen. I'm telling you, hang into your seat there just a second. There is a nonchalant spirit that has fell across our church. There is an empty spirit that's fell among us. We've got a wildness, but there is a greater element that we're fighting. It is the fact that we have lost the power of getting water unto our children. You want to keep the scissors out of their hair. You want to keep makeup off their face. Give them water! If they ever get a hold of water, they'll fall in love with God again. Something is missing. We've held our standard, but our ground is tapped. Our testimony, hang on here. Our testimony is, what I haven't gave into, but we have nothing that we have picked up. Come on here. The pressure. You say pressure. Preacher, it's the end time that we're in. It's the enemy that's warring against our mind. It's the enemy warring against our church. But I'm here to tell you, he said upon this rock, he said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm here to tell you, if we're defeated, it's because we chose to be defeated. If we're cast down and water's not gushing out of us, it's because we have forsaken the water. Emptiness has been satisfied with convictions of standards who no longer minister to us. I told one lady, I said, ma'am, I said, your standard's great. I said, but your standard has nothing to do with how tight you are. I said, your standard testifies of the greatness of God that's within you and your love to your master. Hallelujah. I said, amen. It's a little tight right here. We're going to find out where it's at in a minute. I'm here to tell you, we have sent our children. We don't mind coming up with the money and sending them to a youth rally and tell them to go find water and bring it back to the church. It was never God's intent for the children to carry water. It was God's purpose and God's intent that the elders carry the water and water the flowers. Water the grass! Get the cattle water! But you know what we're saying? Boy, I wish I had a picture here. You know what we're saying? I'll tell you what we're doing. We're handing them the bucket. Come on out here, Brother Jerry. We're handing them the bucket. And we're telling them, you go out there and you find the water for us and you come back and give mama a drink. Now come on here. Help me while I preach. You go out there and you find the water. And you come back and bring it to our church and give us water. I'm going to tell you something. It was never God's will. You know why our children are being lost? They don't know how to battle hell. They don't know how to do battle with the devil. It takes those that has been to the water spout, who has went and got a drink of water, has come back with a refreshing in their soul. Has stabbed the devil. I got power over you. The Holy Ghost has given me power over your forces. Our piety has testified a black ribbon of death over us. We don't shout no more. We don't run no more. We don't get excited no more. It's all due to the testifying. There's no water. No water. We're wanting them to come to us and water us. I remember Brother Buzzard, and you're the oldest preacher here in the house, far as seniority in God that I know of. I remember as a young man, and still young, I went to an old preacher. He was dying. Old Brother Lester Rester. Oh, man of God. Some men come to his church one time. My wife is a witness of this. Back in the days when they really wanted to put the church to the test, tell if they had the power or not. I'm not into snake handling. If you are, get saved and get out of it. Say amen anyways. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I feel like preaching tonight, and some of you just feel like staring at me. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm here on this little felt, just a little touch right there. I'm telling you, when we can learn to cast out the devil that's sitting on our pew, we might have power over a little snake. But don't testify to me how much power you got when you can't handle your spirit. You can't deal with what's ruling you. You can't stop what's making you act like a hypocrite. I went to him, Brother Mike. I knelt down at his bed. He was dying. He was an old preacher. I knelt at his bed. He had a sheet covering him up. And I said, Brother Rester, I said, will you please tell me? Ooh. I said, will you please tell me? Our church world's in trouble. This has been many years ago. I said, tell me what it's going to take to get us out of it. I said, you preached for many years. I'm telling you, that man, back in the day, he was so powerful, it's unreal to tell of the things that God had wrought under his ministry. One time he told me, he said there were some loggers come in and said they were going to disrupt the revival because there wasn't nothing to it. There was an old potbelly stove over there. He said while he was a preaching, he didn't know what they said, but he walked over there and he rested his hand underneath the bed of coals and he pulled out, Brother Buzzard, two handfuls of coals, rubbed them on his face, laid them back down in the near the oven, and went on to preaching. Said them big old boys jumped out of that pew, run to the altar and screamed, my God, this is real. I'm here to tell you, in this house, I'm telling you why they're not running to us. There's no water. There's no evidence that we have found the fountain of living water. Just sit there and look at me. Anybody can keep scissors out of their hair, but it's another story to have water in your vessel. I looked at him and I said, Brother, he told me, he said, it's just exactly what he said. But Lord, he said, whoo, whoo. He said, whoo. He said, I feel it in my ears. And I said, oh God. That old man laying there dying. Tears welled up, his eyes sunk so far in the back of his head, they couldn't run out on his cheek. They just puddled right there at his eyes. I took an old handkerchief and reached up there and puddled out, took out the puddle. He said, "Boy," he said, "if we're ever going to turn it around," he said, "you're going to have to lay aside the foolishness of this world and give your heart totally over to God." He said, "There ain't but one element that's going to stop sin, and it is the power of God." I'm here to tell you in this building what the very thing that they lost in the symbolic of that water, it was the power of life. It was the power of God. It was the fellowship of the Holy Ghost and of the Spirit of God. Well, I must testify, we slipped in the same air. We're losing the power. You're negative, preacher. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Feel the Holy Ghost to preach. When demon-possessed men can shake the hands of our preacher and walk down and say, "I enjoyed it! It wasn't meant for you to enjoy!" Our young girls, come on here, dressing in ways that are ungodly. Things that when we had water, we didn't argue over. It wasn't a question. We was like an army of one body. We put our foot down. We marched together in an even time. I mean, everybody spoke the same thing. If I preach for Brother Mike Nichols, Brother Mike Nichols preached just like I'm a preaching tonight. If I preach for Brother Lloyd, I'm telling you, when the Bible said, when that early church, you ain't helping me. The Bible said when that early church was birthed, they had all things common. I'm here to tell you in this house, if we're ever to see a revival sweep across our country and gather the lost back in, we better have some commonness. We better quit our fighting and get water back in the camp of God. She come out of my side. I'm telling you, I'm feeling some strong spirits. We're now testing how far can we go before we lose all the water. We're starting to measure. We're starting to measure. Are you hearing me? We're starting to measure how far we can split it before we can consider it being a full-fledged split. Say amen anyhow. Throw me out on my ear on the first night if you like. But there once was a time, young lady, when there was some stuff you touched at the store, enough of the power of God was in your life, you said, "I can't wear that. I can't touch that. I can't get nowhere near it. Why can't I get nowhere near it? It's going to jeopardize my water." Hallelujah. I said, "It's going to jeopardize my water. And if I lose my water, I'm going to die." My God, preacher brethren, I'm here to tell you, whether come, sink, swim, or die, it's a mess. We must have water. When I speak out of the whole side, I said, we must have water. Hang on. I love you. But some of you wouldn't have a television for nothing. You don't mind having a monitor now and buying a few DVDs. Yeah. Hear me. We don't mind saying that box is wrong and pointed that box. But as long as we select what we like, Ain't nothing wrong with it. Young lady, I felt the Holy Ghost whispering to me today in prayer. You hear me well. Call me old fashioned and say what you want to. But the only reason you're in trouble tonight is you're dying of water. You're dying of thirst for water. And you're trying your best to figure out how you can remedy to find some false water to make you happy. Step out here, Brother Lloyd. Felt the Holy Ghost the other day in a time of prayer. That's your convictions. That's what you believe. That's what you feel like is right. It ain't what we feel like is right. It's what we know what's right. Come on here. Hey, Brother Randy, leave me high. Hey, some of them ain't gonna listen if I screamed it in their ear. I'm telling mamas and daddies in this building, you come up with a remedy. You're happy with your children going to church. It doesn't matter whether they're in holiness or not. You say as long as they're in church, it's all right. I'm here to tell you, if they're not living on God's water, they're dead. They're dying. They need water. So you know what we did? Brother Mike, come here. I count him my friend. You know what we done? We come up and we have literally made ourselves happy. And we've made ourselves so content that we have resorted and said, Brother Mike, that's just your convictions. That's what you feel. Don't worry about it. Everything's all right. Well, I'm feeling a little kickback right here. I'm feeling a little touch right here. I mean, we don't mind telling everybody we go to the Holiness Church, but we don't want to live what the Holiness Church preaches. Hey, once was a time, Mama, your daughter bought you. You know, no. Don't look at me like that. Hey, once was a time when you bought her clothes. She didn't have splits because you bought them. But now that the preacher's dealing with her and she's buying her own clothes, you look at her and you look at the preacher and say, well, that's her business. That's between her and God. Know what the problem is. You don't understand. We're seeing her die. We're watching death overtake her. Oh, preacher, get off it. It's just a little material. But I'm here to tell you, long before it ever got to the material, it was a dryness in your soul that drove you to that spot. My God in heaven, get a hold of us and shake us again. Come on, Mike. I'm just as content with this cup of water as you are with your pail of water. I'm just as happy with just a little bit of God. But your little bit of God, as you called it, has almost got you down a dark street one too many times. Your little bit of God has put you at the magazine counter in the wrong spot. Your little bit of God has set you down. Come on, I didn't plan to go this way. But while I'm here, I'm telling you, your little bit of God put you right down in the middle of that chair. And what you said you'd never do to your hair, you're doing tonight. Come on, it's a little tight right here. It didn't used to be that way. I've never been to this church when it was founded. I've never been here when former pastor was here. But I'm guarantee you what I feel. feeling my soul. There's some junk happening in some of the elders' lives that we're now tossing buckets to our children, and they ain't even seen the power. They don't even know what we've seen. They ain't never felt what we feel, and we're sitting in the spots that they know nothing about. We're telling them, get us water. Get us something to drink. We're thirsty. But I want to tell you something. If we're ever to turn this thing around, it better be Grandma take it back in her hand and say, come here. I know where it's at. Come follow me. I'll take you where the water is. Hallelujah. I remember when I failed it the first time. I'll take you back to the spot where it gushed up for me. I'm here to tell you, if we're to stop sin in the lives of our children, somebody better grab the water pail, run to the well, and scream, God, give us water! Give us water! Here, boys, find us water. No, that ain't what God's intent is. It was God's intent that you came here sloshing with water. Why does old preachers get up like Brother Leon Buzzard, 66 years old, after the age of 12, prayed through, got the Holy Ghost, called to preach, still got a water pail in his hand, and when he sings, it's splashing. Somebody remember the fountain! I'm telling you, preacher brethren, all of my pastor brethren, it's tighter this year than the past 3 years I failed it. You know why? Our backslidings testify against us. You know why the Holy Ghost is helping me like this right here to say these things? Nothing personal against you. Did you hear me? There once was a time we never, as Pentecostal people, take a vacation and go to the beach. You know why? Come on, girls. You know why? We told our children, ain't no water over there. No water over there. God, help me. They see enough passing this world. Why take them to the spot? How many more shall we mourn over? How many more shall we weep over? How many more shall we bury spiritually before we decide we need water? Can I say what I feel? Holy Ghost, bear me record. If some of you in this building claim the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you come to church when you feel like it. You worship when you feel like it. I love you. But we slipped into an error and we ain't got no more right pointing our finger at Rod Parsley and the rest of that liberal crowd. Some of our children that mount our platform, our former pastors would have looked at them and said, you go sit down, you're not where you need to be with God. Church I pastor, I love dearly. There's a young boy, Brother Buzzard, in my church. He had a part in the instrumentals of the church. I was preaching one morning, Brother Beavers, right in the middle of preaching, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. He said, he's got books and they're hid under his bed. I'm just as ignorant enough to preach it. I jumped right down in the middle of it and went to preaching it. One long, that mama went home one morning. Brother Mike making up the bed. She went to tuck her covers up underneath the bed. You hearing me? And when she did, she felt something. She lifted up the mattress. And there's books laying underneath the mattress. But you know what we've done? We slipped from the book. And we've gone to we watch it when the lights are out. We click on it when nobody else is around. Say amen. Don't back up on me now. We touch it when God said, leave it alone. Preacher, what made me go that far? No water. No water. And once was a time, preacher, brethren, when the only thing that was precious to us was a move of God. Church, are you hearing me? There once was a time when there wasn't nothing else precious to us but a stirring of the Holy Ghost. Stand with me all over this house. I ask you, if I may, by the Spirit of God, reverence the altar service here. I didn't touch all I wanted to touch. Preacher, what's the matter with us? When he said we have sent our little ones to the water spouts and they found no water. And they come back. Where's that trash can? Sorry. We come back. And we went back to Mama and we said, Mama, there wasn't no water there. Mama then turns and takes the bucket and she puts it over her head. And she begins to scream, no water. And all of a sudden the prophet says, what should I hear mourning at the gate? What is that at the gate? He looks across there and he sees the elders. They're all gathered at the city gate and everybody's screaming. There's no water left in the camp. There's no water. And pardon me if you think I'm too plain, but we're going to have more homosexuality and lesbianism take over our children if we don't start getting more water. Amen. Singing and putting them on an instrument ain't going to get it out of them. Did you hear me? Well, preacher, if I make them a part of the church, get them involved. We've had them involved, and they've mocked us while they were involved. It may be hard for you to swallow on the first night. But it's just going to go down as another meeting for some of you. If you don't get water. If you don't start getting some water. Where's the water coming from? I'll tell you where the water's coming from. It's we that have known where the well's at. Start putting back up the arrows and say it's right over here. Brother Buzzard, Brother Mike, Brother Pastor here, I still believe with everything I have in me, I love the old time way of holiness. It ain't a bother to me to live right. It ain't a drag to me to live holy and dress holy. Because when you love what you're involved in, you're not going to question how much you can get away with. Come on here. Some of us, about the only time we speak in tongues is when we're in trouble. We don't ever pray through enough just to have a fellowship with Him. We don't ever pray through enough to cry out and say, God, I need help. I need help. I need a touch of God. I need a move of the Holy Ghost. Our children are hanging in the balance. And they're falling between the cares of this world. Because they see nobody of the age walking by and saying, here, follow me. I just went to the well yesterday and there's water there. I just went there yesterday and there's fresh water gushing out of that well. Well, preacher, you're in a youth rally. What are you preaching like this for on the first night? Well, I'll tell you something. There's things that they're fighting. They don't know how to get over. And 1 week of youth rally ain't going to remedy it. I need somebody to go home. See, we're putting water in the church again. Come on here. We're so caught up. God forbid that I should hurt you with myself. We're so caught up in trying to dazzle with our dress to catch a boy's eye. Catch a girl's eye. But I want to tell you something. Beauty may not always be easy to stay with. I think some of you are going to take that. Beauty may not always be the one to build a house with. I'd rather have a woman that knows how to tote water. Hey! I'd rather have a wife that knows how to pray than a one that knows how to fashion. Oh! Brother Mike, when I wake up sometimes in the middle of the night, and Brother Buzzin', it does something to my soul. My heart breaks inside of me. I wake up in the middle of the night and it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm in the bed asleep. And I hear something on the other end of the house wailing. Crying. I wake up and I just lay there and stare at the ceiling. And I hear her calling out my name. Saying, God, anoint him like he's never been anointed. Use him like he's never been used before. Honey, you go down to the mall and get yours. I'm going to get mine around the water. You go down to the mall or to the fashion club of the world and you go down to the street corner where it's hot rod setting and you go down there and get him all you want to. But when he don't do nothing but lay up and eat cookies and milk, come on here. I'm telling you, you're going to wish to God you'd have got somebody that knew where the water was at. You're going to wish you'd have got somebody that said, Mama, tell me if that's God's will or not. Preacher, tell me if God said I can have him. And if God said I can't have him, I want somebody that knows how to throw water. I want somebody that if I had children, they'll not die in this famine of sin, but they'll come out of it with life inside of them. They'll come out of there saying, We found water. We got water to drink from. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this in closing. As somebody comes to the piano, you hear me? I never thought that there's some things as a pastor. Our little church, I took when it was 13 people. We're running about 120, 100, sometimes 128. I never would have thought, hey, some spirits I'd have to deal with. And I'm having to deal with. Hear me, don't get tired with me. But you know what I found? I'm sometimes able to grab their children and say, come with me. I know where the water is. But when I see their mom and daddy backing up, resist me if you will. Come on. For your children's sake, will you please come get some water? Before you lose your whole family, will you please come get some water? Before you watch your grandchild go into a lifestyle that's going to bring shame to you, will you please come get some water? Before another reproach is laid on us, and before another shame is brought to our church, will you please help us get some water back in this building? Before somebody else, I believe this with everything I have in me, before somebody else backslides, God, give us water this week. Give us fresh water this week. In closing this preaching, while she plays, he plays softly. We weep. We cry. But our weeping I preached this the other night at our church. It said, nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth. They lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Young lady, when you almost messed up, young man, when you almost messed up, the only reason you didn't is a God full of compassion. Caught your slipping feet. He said, don't die yet. Brother Mike, I got ready to preach that. I jotted down a little note on the side. And God spoke to my heart. And He said, while they were full of evil, He said, I was full of mercy. While I knew they were against me, I was all for them. I know Brother Mike won't mind this. He said, while they were resisting me, He said, I was wrapped with love. While they were fighting and pushing me away, I was putting my arms around them, telling them, I love them. I love them. I love you. And you know what the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart? Just what He said in that book. He said, I knew they didn't love me. He said, but I forgave them anyways. I blotted out their iniquities anyways. I'm telling you, if you don't get water, you may run out of mercy. But mercy's reaching. Mercy's calling. And I'm feeling a stronger spirit from hell. I know I got a dead grandbaby at my church. I told the Lord today in prayer, I said, God, if you'll speak, I'll stay right here. I'll not budge. I know what my obligation is, but I felt the enemy from hell bombard this meeting. And I said, God, I'm here to fight. And tell him he's got to back up in the name of Jesus. Because we're here to dig out new wells. We're here to get fresh water back in this camp again. You'll cease your arguing, ma'am. Grandma, you'll cease your contention with the preacher when you find fresh water. Young man, whether you can spike it up, here I am. Don't preach to me about worldliness when you let your children dress worldly. Fashions of this world got their hair soaked wet. Yeah, say amen anyhow. They're standing up like porcupines everywhere. And we're shouting and speaking in tongues with them. But we condemn that woman to her makeup because she looks like them. But we won't say nothing to our little boys. But if they ever get a drink of water, they'll say, make me more like him. I want to be just like him. For if I can be just like him, I'll lose all my desire and attraction for this world. Jeremiah said it. He said, if you'll not hear, he said, then I'll weep in secret for your pride, your destruction. And what he literally said was, if you don't weep to find victory and deliverance, you hear me? He said, if you don't weep to find victory and deliverance, there's nothing left but destruction for you. History records that in the time of this famine, it was Ahab's job and his servant to go out and find water for the cattle. But instead, they mounted the asses and put children on them and said, go find it. I want to say something to all of my aides in this building. I'm not against you. I love you. But our children don't know how to cast out devils. Our children don't know what a midnight rendezvous with the Holy Ghost is all about. Our children don't know what it's like to sit at a table with no bread and watch bread be put on the table. It's all the evidence of water. Fresh water. Will you bow your head with me all over this building? Father, in the name of Jesus, on the first night of this meeting, it's no secret. I'm not patting the devil on the back 1 minute, but he has set out to destroy this meeting. But we're set out against him in the name of Jesus to win the victory over the devil. I pray, God, that you'll grant us power on these altars. Send victory in this camp. In the name of Jesus, I pray. While every head's bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to do something tonight. I'm going to ask all the young people that you want a fresh drink of water. I want you to step out of your pew and come right across this front and kneel. Right quickly. Come on. Just kind of spread on in here. While these are kneeling, I want the rest of us to look this way. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord spoke unto the children of Israel. He said, I'm not talking to your children. He said, I'm talking to you. He said, for you seen me and known me. You saw what I've done in Egypt. They didn't know nothing about it. And I'm looking across this building tonight. There's warriors and saints of God. It's been strong in the faith that has fresh water on their shoulder. The enemy's been worn. I'm going to ask you if you'll step out of your pew. Come find somebody to pray with. Say, I know where the water is. I know exactly where the water's at. Let's point them to where that water's flowing. It's a little tight this year on the first night.
Help him come.
But I'm here to tell you, victory ain't won without a fight. How many elders do I got to step out of there and say, I want to pray with some of these young boys. I want to pray with some of these young girls. I want them to know that there's a fountain that they can drink from. There's a place where they can get a fresh drink of water. Can I hear their cry? Can I hear what they're saying? I don't want to be the way I am. Help me find the water. I don't want to battle some of the stuff that I'm battling. Go ahead, brother. I sure like to find some fresh water. Come on, sisters. Come on in if you can. Make your way around. Come on. There ain't but one way to get that water, and that's through the life of holiness. Through the life of living right with God. There ain't no other way to drink it but out of God's fountain. Every other fountain's contaminated. Shakata mandorobo sandarabahaya. Oh, God. The things that I'm battling with, I want to give them up. I know they're wrong. I know I can't have them. But I don't want to deal with it, God. Take it out and put water in there. In the name of Jesus.